So this is a podcast, which means for a lot of you, you don't get a chance to see us.
That's why you should follow us on Instagram. I'm at Gittimer. Jen is at Jen in any minute, all one word.
We post pictures of our travel, behind the scenes of the podcast, and of course, sales wisdom. If you're not on Instagram, we just gave you one great reason to join.
So follow us today, and you might get a shout out on our next Motivation Monday show.
At Gittimer, at Jen in any minute, we'll see you on the gram.
Is gram one of those words that if you're cool, you use gram instead of Instagram?
Now it is. I would say we'll see you on Insta.
Yeah, I would say gram. You say Insta, I say gram.
What is really disruptive and no one's ever done before? Will that be useful? Is that okay if we go?
Yeah, please tell us.
Is that cool? All right, cool. I wasn't sure if that was going to break the format of your show. I didn't want to be like the new kids on the block and be like, oh, break it.
You're going to have to go pretty far to fuck this up because we already started.
I didn't know it was a challenge. I would have worn the dress.
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sell or Die podcast, the global premier personal development and sales podcast on the planet. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling and my newest book, The Sales Manifesto.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, author of Sales in a New York Minute. We are interviewing leaders in business, sales, and personal development to give you the strategies it takes to make more sales and make more money.
Strategies that you can take out into the street and turn into money 1 minute after you hear them.
In a manifesto moment?
Well, no, more like in a New York minute.
Oh, thank you to all the diehards out there supporting us with listens and 5-star reviews.
Be a star on Sell or Die. Leave your own review. Come on. Go to your computer right now. Go to iTunes right now and write down, type down, talk down exactly how you feel about this podcast and how it might affect others.
All right. I want you to enjoy today's show. Take notes and tell us what you think on our Sell or Die Hard official Facebook group.
All right, let's get to it. It's time to sell or die.
All right, here we go. Rob and Kennedy are the most unlikely entrepreneurs you'll ever meet. Sporting hairstyles that look like comic book characters.
Oh, come on.
And backgrounds in psychology, hypnosis, and show business, it's hard to believe they're serial entrepreneurs with an uncanny knack for building businesses with riotous email marketing. And by the way, they're the hosts of Three Marketers Walk Into a Podcast. Please help me welcome Rob and Kennedy.
Three Marketers Walk Into a Podcast.
I love it.
You know,
it's
the
funny
old Robin Williams joke where he goes into a bar with a frog. A rabbi goes into a bar with a frog on his shoulder, and the bartender says, "Where'd you get that?" And the frog said, "I got them over in Williamsburg. There's plenty of them over there."
It's a classic.
Yeah, totally classic. So I want to know, and Rob, you can go first. How did you first get involved in sales and marketing?
So it's a really obscure story. Basically, when I was at school, I got interested in magic because I had no friends. And
you can't have less than none, so you may as well do
exactly.
Magic.
Yeah. Well, so he had a rabbit inside of his hat. That was his
BFF.
Yeah. And I decided I'm going to be a magician. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to pursue my life. That's what I'm going to do. And so along the way, I actually saw a stage hypnotist, which is much more popular over there in the States than it is here, believe it or not. And I decided that I wanted to learn that. So I did. I studied that for a couple of years between the age of 14 and 16 and then started the offers a career as a stage hypnotist. So I left school when I finished school and started doing stage hypnosis shows up and down the country and across Europe as well. And that was actually my entrance into the idea of business. And suddenly I realized now I've got a thing. I have to learn how to sell myself as a performer. I have to learn how to get booked to go and perform. So I suppose that was where it very first began. And Kennedy has a similar story.
Yeah, same thing. So I've been doing corporate after dinner entertainment as what you guys in the States call a mentalist, which means I combine psychology, persuasion, influence skills, and memory that make it look a lot like I can figure out what people are thinking. And so I've been doing that in the sort of comedy way after dinner for 17 years now. But part of that thing is, again, I have to figure out, how do I get enough gigs? Because my only goal in life, I once sat down with a business coach and he said, what's your goal? You know, like they do. And I said, my only goal in life is to never have to get a job. And as long as I can keep doing that, I'll be really bloody happy.
So, you just want to be able to clean up without having to work for somebody else.
Exactly, exactly. So basically, I spent all those years just polishing my act, getting better at it. But it doesn't matter how well-honed your act is. If you can't get it in front of any people, you're not, one, going to get any better, because you only get better at something by doing it a lot. And two, you're not going to have any gigs. You're not going to be able to avoid the fear of that job. So I thought I'd better get good at selling myself. And that's basically how it began for me too.
Did you guys have specific struggles, or what did you learn when you started selling? What was your technique?
My technique was literally always about asking questions. Like I never knew what I was supposed to say. Because the problem is, nobody goes, oh, what I really need today, I have a really big problem. I really need a mind reader. Nobody ever wakes up in the middle of the night figuring that as their question, right? So what I had to do is I went a lot to like business networking events, because I've always been that curious. I think the reason I got into being a mentalist was because I've always been like that really annoying, curious kid who's like, yeah, but why? And how does that happen? And why does that happen? So I've always been really good at asking questions. So for me, I went along to lots of business local.
So you thought, I want to go somewhere where people are going to breathe coffee on me and shove their business card in my hand.
Yes.
Yeah. Great.
Are you not into networking, or what was that about?
I'm only kidding. I just think it's funny because everyone smells like coffee first thing in the morning.
Well, they which is an upgrade, because they used to smell like a cigarette.
Exactly. So I used to go along to them and just say to people, you know, what kind of events do you do, and how do you do that, and what's that about? That's really interesting. And then eventually they go, oh yeah, what do you do? And I say, well, I sort of do this act, and so they would then be so sort of compelled into me that they would, that I could then understand what it is they were sort of prioritizing. I suppose one of my studies was in neuro-linguistic programming. And one of the things that they talked about in the world of NLP was the idea of modeling what people said and how they said things. And I sort of bought into that in a sort of way. And so I thought, if I just ask lots of questions, I'll be able to understand what's important to that person. And therefore, I'll be able to sort of frame what I do so that it makes me most appealing to them. I never really thought about it as selling. I just thought it was, well, I need them to understand what I do. And there's no point in me trying to talk about technical stuff to do with what mentalists know, because they don't understand that landscape at all. So why don't I just talk to them about stuff they understand? So if a person said, oh, I'm a lawyer, and I said, oh, good, you go to many events as a lawyer. Oh, yeah, we have this annual award dinner for lawyers. I said, oh, great. So now eventually when I get at that point of them asking me, hey, what do you do? I'm now going to be in that place of saying, well, you know, when you go to these awards dinners, well, I perform after dinner at those kind of things. So now they can sort of visualize what I do in a context they're familiar with. Does that make sense?
Well, I like that, because I can visualize exactly what he's doing in my context, where I may be able to sell him or refer him to my event planning department.
Or you can go into the hypnotism thing and say, listen, instead of you guys putting your audience to sleep, let me do it.
The thing is, I think the problem is, if you go to a networking event, I've talked to a few people about this, about strategy on networking events. And honestly, I'm not an expert at networking whatsoever. I've done a bit of it. But the problem is, if you go in there and you do something that's amazing, it's a bringing along the thing that you sell and going, isn't that great? At that point, just as you said, there's no context for that. People can't figure out, where does that fit in my world? So if you go, oh, I've told you what that you think of the number 12, that's great. But I don't know how that applies to me. I don't know how that applies to my world. So I wouldn't naturally connect the dots of, oh, I go to these conferences, or even I organize these conferences, so therefore I should introduce you.
You're giving us this history and you're talking about how you start to learn how to sell and network and all that good stuff. But in your bio that I read, I said that you guys are serial entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
So you must have gotten pretty good at selling.
Or else you eat a lot of cornflakes.
What actually came about was, as an entertainer, we spend a lot of time traveling and a tiny amount of time performing. So sometimes we'll fly to Dubai or India or somewhere closer than that. But we can travel for hours and then only do a tiny bit of performing. So that means there's lots of sitting around. And over the last 16 years or 17 years in his case, that just means you spend a lot of time quite bored looking for something else to do when you're waiting to go on stage and waiting to do that. So we both independently, completely unaware of the other one doing it, started an online business. So for me, that was selling hypnosis training courses and digital programs, teaching stage hypnosis to people who wanted to learn it. For you, it was about helping entertainers to get more gigs, because you were like wiping the floor with a lot of other people in your industry, and you were able to teach them the craft of getting more gigs and getting paid better for gigs and that kind of thing. So we, one day, just in a random conversation, we both said, so I've been doing this thing and I've built an email list and I'm selling this course. And we were like, oh, that's weird, because I've been doing the same thing.
We were basically like closet entrepreneurs.
Closetpreneurs, I suppose.
I like closetpreneurs. That's cool.
I love that.
And it was quite bizarre. We'd been doing it for a few years before we actually discussed it and said, I've been doing this and I've been doing this as well, because we wanted to get it right and get it working. So along the way, we now are both have kind of parallel lives. We're both out performing a bunch of the time and we're both running an online business the rest of the time. And along the way, we ran into a problem. And that was, we both found this absolute passion for email marketing as a method of selling. For us, email marketing was just one of the strongest tools that anyone has in their armory. And so we realized that actually, if we can learn to master that and harness those skills, then we're going to be able to go a lot further. And so along the way, we ran into a new problem, which was, as we were building a list of people, we started to notice we got a lot of different people in our audience, a lot of different people on our list, who demographically, well, they might all look quite similar. You know, that they might all want to learn hypnosis, or they might all be magicians who want to get more gigs. But actually, the differences between them are really vast in terms of their pains, their needs, their struggles, the stuff that motivates them. So we decided that actually we needed to get better at this question answer asking thing that you talked about before, en masse. How do we have personal marketing conversations with 1,000 people, 10,000 people, 100,000 people?
It's basically, how do we mop up all of that stuff that we were doing in person when we're doing these networking things and do it in the virtual at scale world?
Is that even possible?
Well, that's what we sort of set ourselves on a mission for, because as people who are a mentalist and a hypnotist, you're naturally creative to problem solving like yourselves. Like, as salespeople, we're constantly problem solving. We're constantly looking at what's the situation in front of us and how do we maneuver those things so that our message matches that thing, right?
Yeah. And we started to realize that we live more and more in the Netflix mentality now. So, you know, people don't just rush home from work or school to watch that program because it happens to be on at 6 p.m. and that's what time they have to
My dad called me the other day, right? And he said to me, Kennedy, are you watching? And he was about to say whatever he was about to say, probably that TV show on BBC One. But I knew the answer before he'd even finished the sentence was going to be no, because that's not how I or many people, that's not how we consume content anymore. We now go home, and if we want to watch that latest season of whatever, we'll put it on Netflix or those other services. We consume content on our schedule based on what our current needs are, right?
To the point that there's a really popular UK TV show here in the UK that's just had season two come out, and BBC said, we're going to do two things. They're releasing it weekly episodes on the television at the same time every week, but they took all 8 episodes and released them at once on the internet. So you can just
binge watching becomes a way of life.
I love it.
I watched all 8 episodes in a day. Colin, who's our developer here in the office, he's still on episode 3 because he's watching them weekly.
You have another guy?
Yeah. We have a small team here.
Got
so
it.
That means that we can both consume the content in the way that we want to watch it. And there are so many people out there, business owners, salesmen, marketers, who are trying to sell to people, assuming that they're all just the same thing. And they're just doing it through what we call hope blanket marketing. They're just sending out messages and hoping that enough people respond. I'll have enough sales conversations if I send enough random messages. If I throw enough shit at the wall, some people are going to catch it. And so we wanted to get away from that.
I love this. So Jeffrey has an email list of like 200,000 people. And we're promoting this webinar that's happening tomorrow, but the webinar is for young sales professionals. Now,
with red hair.
Well,
we're trying to nail it down, you know, we have a niche.
But we don't know specifically on the list of those 200,000 people who's young, who considers themselves young, who's been, you know, selling for 25 years and this wouldn't be the right webinar for them. We have no idea. So we're sending it out to our list and saying, like, if this isn't for you, pass it along to someone who it's for.
So imagine, here's a really cool thing there, just as a thing you can maybe go and do, and I'm sure loads of people watching and listening to this will be able to use this too. If you run webinars as well, let's tell you about a quick campaign we ran that really, one is really disruptive and no one's ever done before. Will that be useful? Was that okay if we go?
Yeah, right, please tell us.
Is that cool? All right, cool. I wasn't sure if that was going to break the format of your show. I didn't want to be like the new kids on the lock and be like, oh, break it.
You're going to have to go pretty far to fuck this up because we already started.
I think that was a challenge. I would have worn the dress. So what we do is when somebody registers for a webinar, we then immediately on that thank you page ask them to take a survey. And that survey basically asks them, which of the, let's say we're going to make three major points on that webinar. We're going to make point A, point B, and point C, right? Usual format. We say to that each person who registers, which one of these three things is the most important thing to you right now? Which one is your biggest challenge or struggle right now? And they just check the box and submit, and they've completed a survey. Lovely. What we then do, because we obviously use Response Suite, which is our software, because Response Suite connects to our email marketing system, what we then do is every single email that we send them to make them show up to the webinar, because challenge number one is getting people to register for your webinar. Challenge number two is getting the people to show up to the webinar. And so what we do is every email in that show up to the webinar sequence is tailored depending on which of those one of those three things is most important to them.
Brilliante. Okay. There's a step in the middle, though. We want them to pay. So it's register, pay, and then answer the three questions.
Yeah, it's on the thank you
page. He didn't talk about pay.
So this is a paid webinar, is it?
Yeah, it's a paid webinar.
It's a paid webinar.
So we would use this in a slightly different place. We assumed it was a free one with a sales pitch at the end. That's how we would do it in that instance. Mm-hmm.
I'll just finish off that case study and then we'll
yeah. Okay, yeah.
So imagine you're doing a free webinar. It's like the usual free content and then an offer at the end. So every single email you get from the moment of registering, you now tell us like the reason you're really going there is because of option B. Every email you get between now and that day of the webinar is customized based on the one thing. It ignores the other two things which are not as important to me and really focuses on the one thing that's really important to me. That's the same as that sales conversation that I had, which I said, hey, what's important to you right now? What's your biggest challenge with your events? And now I focus my entire sales pitch around that thing. It's the same thing, getting people to show up.
Good move.
Whereas if you charge for the thing.
Guys do not look smart, but you actually are smart.
I think that's part of the bio they submitted.
That is a quote. They don't look smart, but they're smart.
Well, how does it change if it's a paid webinar?
So this actually is depending on what you sell. So for example, I a couple of years ago, I launched a membership program for people in the personal development space. So people who wanted to use the hypnosis stuff that I know to improve their life and their minds and that kind of thing. And along the way, I started launching a program and I was planning on it would being monthly live webinars. I was going to do a live webinar every month. They'd pay to be a member every month, like $99, and then everyone would be a winner. And I just went into that thinking everything would be great. And what I found out as a result of just asking the question is that almost nobody in my list, in my audience, would attend live webinars. That was not the method that they wanted to learn through. So again, there's a million different reasons why the people on your list, 200,000 people on your list, whether it's a list of 200,000 or a list of 200, are going to be totally, totally different. So what we do is every time somebody joins our list for whatever reason, so whether they have registered for a free webinar, whether they've opted in for some sort of white paper or free download, or whether they've been to a live event, whatever, registered to subscribe to a podcast, whatever it is they've done to join our list, within a day, we send them a quick email with a super quick survey. It's got three questions in it. Usually those questions are framed around, where are you at in your journey with this thing? What's your biggest struggle right now? And where are your aspirations? Where do you want to be? And they're all multiple choice. So it takes people less than a minute to fill this out. And as soon as they fill that out, it puts them directly into, well, just two things. First of all, it pops them into a different sort of tag or list inside our email marketing platform. For us, that's Infusionsoft. And then what happens is we're now able to make sure that we follow up with them in the exact right way. So if you've got a webinar, and let's imagine it's, I don't know, 2 hours long, you're going to teach a lot of stuff on that webinar. But the stuff that's most important to people is going to be totally different. There's no way you can teach a 2-hour webinar and have every single thing be of the most important value to every single person. It just doesn't work that way. Equally, even if that were the case, the motivation and the pain points you have to tap into to get people to buy that thing are going to be totally different. So what we like to do is, if we got that little matrix of information, we know where people are at. So, you know, for you, that might be, how old are they? It might be that sort of question, because you need to know that they are what you'd consider to be young. So you're going to market that to them. Great. You need to know what's their biggest challenge right now with selling. Is it going to be this, this, or this? Because you know, you need to make sure that they know you're going to cover that thing. And finally, where do they want to be? Do they want to be some flash billionaire with a Lamborghini and a private jet? or do they just want to be able to put their kids through college and just get by with a nice business? Because the way you speak to those people is going to be totally different. So for us, that's then about taking it and making sure the email campaigns that they go through, the page they land on that sells them the thing, sells it to them from a different perspective, depending on specifically what they've just told you.
That's fascinating.
Very fascinating and absolutely relevant to anybody who's listening to this podcast.
Yeah, no, this is amazing because you have created a masterful way to have unique or individual sales conversations in mass.
And simple.
Imagine it like, I like to think of, do you remember those books you used to read as a kid, which were like Choose Your Own Adventure stories?
Yeah.
He can read as well.
I mean, come on, I've got multiple talents. Yeah. I mean, basically, you know those books you used to read where if you thought the little boy ran into the scary dairy forest, then turn to page 26. And if you thought he ran home, turn to page 42. That's a Choose Your Own Adventure. And like, if your marketing can be like that, where every person gets to do that, like imagine this, Rob said, right, somebody joins your list and all you know is they opted in for, they joined your list because you attracted them with something, some lure, and that's great, but you don't know whether they want the fit. What they really want help with is thing number one you're going to offer them in your next email sequence, or the next thing, or the thing after that, or the thing after that. Instead of, like, if it's the fifth thing along in your campaign, if by any miracle they're still on your list, or if they're even still engaged, you might make a sale at that point. But you've taken ages to help the person out and your engagement has gone down.
So,
whereas instead, when they join your list, you just say to them, hey, fill in this questionnaire and I'll help you when I can. And they say, hey, I really want help with thing B. You send them an email campaign that says, here's some stuff that I've had with thing B. By the way, I've got a product. Do you want to buy it? You've reduced the amount of time it takes to get a return on your investment of the traffic or the acquisition cost. You've helped them faster and you send them more relevant email.
We have a lot of diehards on our podcast who are individual salespeople. So like they might have a marketing department that's smart enough to use this kind of method or not, but what can they do for themselves? So what can they do so that they can send mass emails, but really talk to each person like they're one?
Ooh.
Okay. So there's a couple of different applications for this. I mean, it depends on where you are in the business. So if you are allowed to own, if you're allowed to store that data yourself, because you're like an independent contractor of a company, there's obviously one solution. And if you're like more like locked in as a salesperson and you have no touch points on that data, there's obviously a slightly different solution. So let's take that first one first. And that is if you're like a franchisee or an independent contractor where underneath a brand head, like a headline brand or a brand, you're able to manage your own data. Let's say you're using some kind of email marketing system, whether that be from MailChimp all the way through to your Infusionsoft or HubSpots of this world or anything in between. You can do exactly what we've just said. Literally, if you imagine you've just... So example, one of the most interesting things for me for salespeople is how we have this hardwired, innate fascination with finding new customers. It's like built into us to chase the customer, to chase new customers.
We've evolved that way.
We've evolved that way from the days we were chasing new prey. That's how it works. But really, if you look at the expense, not just in time.
No argument there.
Right? So it's so expensive for you to go and grab new customers. Instead, there's a whole bunch of people who already like you and who already trust the products that you deliver, the service you deliver, and they even trust in a world these days where we are obsessed with the security of our data and information. They trust that when they handed their credit card to you or their cash to you, that was processed in a secure way. They trust all of that. So why don't we go back to them and find out how else we can help them?
Got it.
Right?
And I totally agree. In America, I guess it's the same as everywhere in the world. It's called acquisition cost.
Yeah. So you've got high acquisition cost. Whereas if we go back to that person who already likes us, not only is our acquisition cost zero because we already have their phone number and we know the exact person to speak to, but secondly, our time cost is zero. And their trust level is high, so our resistance is low. So we go to them, and instead of selling at them, just go and say, hey, well, what we do is we send them a survey. Crazy, I know, but imagine this, right? Most people see surveys as the end, what we call the cul-de-sac of marketing and sales.
It's the dead end of this magical data highway.
Right? It's the place where data goes to die and rot in the bottom of a CSV file. Whereas, imagine...
You know, that's why there's more oceans, because right? The shit's at the bottom.
They're throwing all that data in it.
And what do? You look at it once
and it's a waste of time. Like, what does it really achieve?
Well, how do you get people to actually fill out the survey?
Right.
No, what they're saying is they make it easy.
That's right. Yeah, useful and easy. That's
useful and easy.
That's what we want to be. I'll be useful.
And I'll be easy. Well, I'm not... Wait a minute. I'm not... I am not that easy. You have to buy me dinner and tell me I'm pretty.
Okay, all right. We'll do one at a time. One at a time.
Okay.
So how do you make it useful? So instead of it being that cul-de-sac, that drift to the bottom of the ocean, instead, why don't we make it a fulcrum through which one sales conversation ends and the next one opens? So imagine if you just had a two-question survey. One, that's going to make it easy to fill out. So, and the second thing is going to give you something useful. The first question in your survey, so you've just completed a bit of work for somebody, they loved it, they thought it was great. You email them with a survey and you say, hey, would you please fill out this survey? First little hint, don't email them for feedback too soon. Most people get this wrong. Most people will email and ask for them people to give feedback too quickly when they haven't had the chance to sit back and enjoy and get emotionally attached to the results they've seen from the thing they've bought from you. So give it 4, 5, or 6 days. Then they receive the survey. The survey has two questions. The one is, how would you rate what we did for you? That product, that service, however you want to frame it.
And you don't need to break that down into what did you think of the food and the tables and the decorations and the music and the
service.
What
did you think?
They don't care. What did they think of it?
Because the truth is, you're probably not going to change those things. People ask so many questions in surveys that about things they're never going to change. Like, what did you think of the venue? Well, the venue was their office. They're never going to change it. Stop asking questions you don't need to ask, right? So... now we've got question number one, which is, what do you think of it from 0 to 10? Lovely. You've got those results. That's great. Question number two, which of the following things is a current challenge for you? And now what you're going to do is you're going to list 3, 4, or 5 of your other products or services, but framed as a current challenge.
Gotcha.
So oh, now something
brilliant. Fucking brilliant. I'm telling you right now, your football team sucks, but you guys are on fire.
Thank you. So what that means is, you know how well you did.
Yeah.
And by the way, if they rate you poorly because something happened, because none of us are perfect, then don't display the next question, which is, how else can we help you? Display a little, ooh, can we have some feedback, please? And help those people out and fix that for them. Protect your reputation, because reputation in a world that we're so connected is so important. But now, let's say most of the time, they're going to rate you 8, 9, or 10. Fabulous. You ask them, which one of these things you need help with is your biggest challenge, like we said. And they say, I really want help with my search engine optimization is the choice they make, right? What happens now is, because your survey, if you use a good application, connects to your email marketing system or your sales system, and now kicks off an automated bunch of emails or systems, which sells them the thing they want help with.
This is awesome.
To put this into perspective, right, we have this lovely room here, this office within a building of serviced offices. There's like us and 50 other companies all with their own offices. Great. And we realized that we wanted to change the network infrastructure of our room, not the whole building, just our room. So we got this IT company in, right? They came in, they did a great job. They scoped it out. They said, okay, great. This is what we think you need. We said, fabulous, because we're not technical at all. So we were like, sounds good to me. They put it in. Off they went, sent us an invoice. They went back to their office. We stayed here, paid their invoice. Happy days. Apart from that invoice, I never received another email from them until we bumped into them somewhere. I realized they've never tried to sell me anything. They've never tried to sell me anything else. We couldn't be happier with their service. We think they're amazing. We praise them to the heavens. We've referred other people to them, but we've never bought anything else from them since. And in casual conversation, I said, how many products do you have? And it is hundreds. Not like a few, it's hundreds.
More than 200, isn't it?
Yeah. And I don't know about any of them, but equally, not all of them are applicable for us. For example, if somebody called me from their office and said, hey, Rob, do you want to buy, we've got voice over IP VoIP telephone systems. Would you like one of those? We can't do that because that's supplied by our offices and we can't change that. So that would be a completely wasted opportunity. But we do now buy, having pushed them, that antivirus and this and that and the other. The only stuff we bought is the stuff we had to ask them for. Because
you're like the best customer ever. Right. What more can we buy? Can
by the way, here's my credit card. Just put your credit card on your forehead. And
now, the problem is most customers don't do that. And I don't do that to most businesses.
Right.
We just did it to them because we needed the service and we knew they were the IT company we would go
to. So now they're a response customer. And the way they're using this is incredible.
Yeah. So now, instead, what would have happened if they were a customer then is that, or if they were using our strategy then.
But now what they're doing
is, somebody buys a thing, they go out and install the thing or deliver the thing, they go back to their office, somebody in the office hits a button and it sends out an automated email with a survey. Right, great, pre-written email. They click on that, it asks them, I think in this case, 3 or 4 questions. One of those questions is, how would you rate it from 0 to 10? If they say 7 or less, we consider that's not really acceptable. And a new box appears that says, would you mind telling us why? We're really sorry. And then that's the end of the survey. Great. If they said that it was 8, 9, or 10, I say, fantastic. Which of these things are your other challenges right now? And just like you said, presents them with a bunch of radio buttons. Like, yep. I don't feel like my data is secure, or I'm worried that our internet keeps going down. I am, etc. And you choose the ones that are most interesting.
We don't have enough bandwidth. I mean, there's so many things that can, boom. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back. If I'm an individual salesperson,
yeah,
how can I?
With my list of 300.
I have a list. I've been doing this for, a while now. I've been to networking events. I've showcased my stuff. But I don't really know who's on my list. I mean, I know the people, but I don't have them tagged in any sort of way. Where do I start? What do I do?
So the first thing to realize is that the numbers, the size is not important. Okay, that's the first thing to realize. The size is not important.
Is that like a joke? Wait, is that a joke?
No.
Okay.
The minute you have 2 people on your list, you now don't have a list that's congruent. You have a list that's full of different people.
So you have your mom and your grandma.
Yeah, it's diverse. Okay, I got it.
So the moment that happens, you have to realize these people are not the same and I can't treat them the same way. So we use this asking questions thing in 2 ways. One, if you've already got a list of people, whether it's 2 or 300 or whatever, you take that and you should immediately do something to find out more about them. Whether that is just sending them an email and asking them to reply with what their biggest challenge is and go and manually segment them and tag them. We've done that as well. Whether it's sending them a survey, which is obviously what we would recommend. Whether it is, picking up the phone. If it's a small list of people you deal with personally, pick up the phone and call them and ask them some questions. Find out a bit more about where those people are at. So you can do that as a sort of bulk exercise with everybody to get going.
We all have this problem, I think, where we look at our little black book of contacts or digital version of that black book, and we see them as a number. I have 272 people on my list. You see that as a number? It's a single number of 272 people. It's not. That's 272 individual people who are at individual stages with individual issues that they really want to help. So if you've got a list of however small it is, you're an individual salesperson, call each of those people up.
And for us, that's about working out what are the questions I need to ask to get the answers I need to get in order to sell them more stuff more effectively. So for example, if you're a fitness pro, let's imagine that you sell fitness equipment.
I'm very fitness.
Imagine you sell fitness equipment, for an example. Just because somebody has joined your list, you now don't know whether that person wants to lose weight, whether they want to bulk up and become a bodybuilder. Maybe they're trying to train for a marathon. Maybe they're trying to regenerate muscle after an injury. Like, there's a million things. Equally, if somebody is a man, you have to train them very differently to if they're a woman. If they're old, you have to train them very differently to if you're young. So the first thing to do is to say, okay, great, what are the things that I sell? And therefore, what are the important things that I need to know? So for example, I don't know anything about fitness, so I'm going to flounder here. But basically, what do I need to sell to people who want to lose weight compared to what do I need to sell to people who want to become bodybuilders? What are the supplements that are different? Because technically, when you get into that realm, you're not just dealing with how well you can sell something, but you're actually dealing with somebody else's health. If you sell financial service, you're dealing with somebody else's wealth.
Any other words that rhyme with health and wealth? I want to see how long you're going to go with it.
Yeah. If you sell DIY services, you've got to affect somebody else's shelf.
Or if you're trying to investigate who's cheating on their spouse, it's stealth.
Oh,
very good story.
That was a good one.
I'm out now.
I'm smart enough to be British.
So suddenly you just have to say, okay, great. In that case, I can probably whip that down to 3 questions I need to know. In the fitness example, it's probably, are you male or female or age, depending on what's more important to how you teach?
Yeah.
It's going to be, what's your biggest struggle right now? That's almost always the case. What's your biggest struggle right now?
Yeah.
And where do you want to be? And as soon as you know the answer to those questions, you instantly know what you should be selling that person.
But here's the deal. Let's take the fitness industry for just 1 second. Sometimes people go to a gym and they say that they want to become more fit. But really, they just got divorced and they want to become more fit so they can go out socially again and be acceptable because they got fat while they were married or whatever.
Okay. Right.
So true. You have to understand there's a secondary reason beyond the superficial reason.
So, Jeffrey, you're looking for the emotional reason behind the reason.
Right, because if I can hit that trigger, I can win.
Absolutely. That is a really big thing that we discovered in the wording of the question or the answers that they can choose from that is to do with what's your biggest struggle right now.
Right. So these people don't want to get fit. They want to get laid.
Exactly.
And there's a difference.
When we first started saying, what's your biggest struggle right now? Or what are you looking for right now? Our answers used to be telephone systems and network infrastructure and antivirus. And then we realized, actually, that needs to flip. We now need to word that as, I'm really struggling with this. I'm really frightened about this. I'm really not sure that, you know, my data is going to be safe. I don't think people are going to fancy me anymore if I go out socializing, you know? So we just started to tap into those emotional hot buttons by putting those in. So people, we're actually asking people, the question is now, which of these are you which of these things are you struggling with most right now? Right now is important, obviously, because we want to know what they're struggling with right now at this exact moment. But then we word those struggles
in that first person, so it's the words want to resonate in their mind emotionally. I'm really struggling with this thing. I wish I could. Yeah. And you really are. You use it now. That goes back to that whole completion.
This is way, way cool.
Okay, so
this has been phenomenal. I am so grateful to you guys for coming on, sharing this information, sharing this knowledge. I'm sure we have some people wondering right now the name of your company, because I don't think we even mentioned it at the beginning, and it's Response Suite. Is that correct?
It is.
And so where can they go to find out more information about you guys?
So, of course, first of all, we're all on the social media channel. So if you just want to watch what we're doing and stalk us and that kind of thing, you can find us just at Response Suite on everything. Obviously, that's suite as in S-U-I-T-E on everything that you want. But actually, if you want to find out more about Response Suite itself and how you run, how we do surveys and how we do all that stuff and the software that we use for doing it, we actually have a really cool thing for anyone listening to the podcast right now. Instead of going to responsesuite.com, which is the website, if you go to the URL that I'll give you in a minute, a couple of things will happen. First of all, you can find out all the details and find out what it does. Secondly, if you want to take it for a spin, you want to give it a try, we'll actually give you 2 weeks for free, so you can sign up, get it installed, send out the first survey, actually make some money from it, prove that this stuff works first in that first 2 week period. And when you do, we'll give you two things. First of all, we'll give you a 4-part training program that we put together called the Survey Marketing Masterclass, it was $497 when we sold it. It's not even on sale anymore, but it basically teaches 8 full campaigns that you can use in your marketing.
Oh my word.
It gives you.
Wow.
It gives you 8 full campaigns you can literally use and deploy with surveys in different bits of your business to do with webinars and membership sites and online programs and offline stuff and all that. And you'll get a free implementation call with me or Kennedy as well. You'll actually get on the call with one of us if you want to. Not everybody does. You can get on a call with one of us and we'll help you try it all out as well in your 2 weeks for free. But you'll only get that stuff if you go to responsesuitedeal.com/sell or die.
It's for our peeps. I love it. We're going to put that URL right into the show notes.
I've got a confession to make. I'm loving the Newcastle United football strip shirt you've just changed into.
What I did is
you got to the shop very quickly.
Yes.
Here's the deal. It's hard to get to that shop. That shop don't sell anything because you can't even sell your own damn football jerseys. They all have to say Man United.
We do have a little confession to make, and that is we actually had an ulterior motive in this entire time, and it has nothing to do with sales or marketing or surveys or Response Suite or
what is it?
Pre-marketing, walk into a podcast. We've been playing a game this whole time. We've actually been using a secret theme as metaphors throughout this entire conversation.
Just for the fun of it.
So everything we've been saying has been through a metaphor around one theme.
So for example, if the theme was farmyard animals, which it's not, I might say, I went to a restaurant the other day and I was really pigging out.
And I would say, oh, move out of the way. It wasn't that theme and it wasn't that obvious. But all the way through this, we have been using a theme and we want you to figure out, you might have to rewatch this episode, re-listen to this episode. That's cool. And we want you to tweet us at Response Suite. Obviously, suite spelled S-U-I-T-E, with what you think the theme was. And whoever gets it right, we'll figure out some kind of crazy prize. We haven't figured out what it's going to be yet, but it'll be a great prize. And it's really, if you listen back to it, it's really obvious.
Oh, no, I didn't pick up on it.
You can get my jersey.
Nada, did you pick up on
it? If you win, you're gonna get that Newcastle United Northern Rock shirt that he's wearing right now. That's the prize.
So, it's vintage.
For those of you that are just listening it's and vintage. Not watching, Jeffrey left the room, came back. I saw him come back and take his shirt off. I had no idea what he was doing, and then put a new shirt on. And what? Whose
it's
team
a Newcastle shirt. That's from their football team, from their town.
Well
done.
Yeah.
Well done, honey.
No problem. But here's the deal. There's a reason that I did that. Look at what happened to our relationship the minute you knew that I knew something deeper about you or that I had a closer connection to you. All Absolutely. Of a sudden, it was like, oh, my God, this is, oh, my God. So I wanted our listeners to understand that the best way you can make a connection with somebody else is to have something about them that they relate to, that they feel comfortable with about you.
Sounds like all the data they're collecting.
Exactly. Exactly. I just did it through a football shirt. They're doing it through an email or a survey.
Oh, man.
And we all lived happily ever after.
Look at this. Look at us.
Another fantastic episode of Sell or Die is now in the books.
Let's let the listener be the judge of that.
You can be. Subscribe. Rate and review our show today. In fact, right now.
Or if that sounds too complicated, tell a friend.
Tell both your friends.
Because if you're not selling,
you're dying.
We're leaving.
Au revoir.
Shalom.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.